Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the iPRO Strategies to Reduce Avoidable Acute Care Hospitalizations conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star then zero. I'd now like to turn the conference over to your host, Ms. Christine Siegel. Please begin.
Good morning, everyone, on this rainy, cold morning. I want to just take the next couple of minutes to review the Transitional Care Coordination Intervention Packet from the Home Health Quality Improvement National Campaign. This call is being recorded and will be available on the iPRO website in the Home Health section, like our other presentations. In about 7 to 10 days, as well as the presentation slides and any of the handouts, as well as the evaluation, are also on the website. So if you did not receive them prior to the presentation, you can go on the website at www.ipro.org and access the home health section, and the presentation slides and other materials are available there at this point. At this time, I'll start the presentation, and if you go to the second slide, you'll see the list of industry stakeholder groups that have partnered with us during the National Home Health Quality Improvement Initiative National Campaign, and they've served with us as part of the Local Area Networks for Excellence, or otherwise called LANES. As I said before, this is the 12th and final intervention packet, and I wanted to let agencies know that the opportunity for clinician CEUs will end in February of 2008, so it will be the end of this month. The website, www.homehealthquality.org, is the website for this campaign, and all of the intervention packages are posted there. Even though the campaign is coming to a close, the website will still remain active until the end of July, which is the end of this scope of work. At that time, or I think before then, the intervention packets will be transitioned to medquick.org. I wanted to point out that there's a new area on the campaign website. You'll see it in the bottom of the left-handed column, and it's called the Media Center. And that, if you click on that, that has a list of all the podcasts that have been available throughout the campaign. So it'll be they are easily accessible for agencies to use. Also, the last CD with the podcast for disease management and transitional care will be sent to agencies who are registered to the campaign this month. Even though the campaign is coming to a close, the initiative to reduce acute care hospitalizations is not ending at all. We are still working with agencies across New York State to improve their acute care hospitalization rate. Also wanted to let people know that the campaign reports, although the campaign is ending the end of this month, they will continue until July 2008. I know that these reports have been helpful to all the agencies and they've really enjoyed them. We don't know yet whether we will have access to the information on those reports, so we will be able to offer them ongoing after the end of July. The next slide gives you a picture of the full packet of the best practice intervention package related to transitional care coordination. It also gives you the campaign website address. The tools that I'll be referring to during the presentation are available within the packet and on the web page where the packet is located on the National Campaign website. There's no fast track to this intervention packet because it really is transitional care coordination. It's really a higher level type of activity, and it really cannot be addressed by any agency by using a fast track or quick method. So if you have not downloaded the full intervention package, I suggest that you do that, and then you'll be able to get the tools that will be that I'll be referring to, and the on the specific page numbers through the presentation. The next slide really highlights that this is the third and final package of the theme Building Upon the Basics series that was outlined for the last three packages, the December, January, and February intervention packets. It builds upon the work of all the previous packages, and there is a crosswalk included that we'll be reviewing during the presentation in the packet that outlines how transitional care coordination can be crosswalked to all the other previous packages. The purpose of this series is really to assist agencies to advance to a higher level to improve patient outcomes and patient satisfaction, as well as to reduce avoidable rehospitalization. The next slide outlines the objectives for the presentation. I will be defining transitional care coordination. I'll describe the care transitions model as well as the transitional care model, which are the two models that are focused in this packet. And I'll provide the agency with some next steps to assess and implement a plan to begin addressing care transitions within your home health agency. So let's start by giving a definition of what care transition is. It refers, Dr. Coleman has defined care transitions as the movement of patients make between healthcare practitioners and settings as their condition and care needs change during the course of their chronic or acute illness. The primary goal of care transitions is to provide patients with the tools and support that promote increased knowledge and patient self-management skills as they move from one healthcare setting to another. Also, care coordination folds very nicely into care transitioning because care coordination really targets the chronically ill or elderly who are at risk for increased use of healthcare services. And they assist in, and care coordination assists in filling the gaps in our traditional reactive system, healthcare system. It combines the tools of disease management and case management to organize a person's healthcare system to keep the chronically ill and elderly as healthy as possible. So if you go to the next slide, if you combine both of those definitions, you really get transitional care coordination. And it includes both the sending and receiving of patient-related information. And in home health care, we send patient-related information when a patient is sent to the emergency room or is going to the physician's office for a visit, and we receive information every time that we receive a phone call from a healthcare setting or healthcare provider, as well as when we receive referrals for services. To define transitional care coordination, it's a set of actions designed to ensure the coordination and continuity of healthcare as patients transfer between different provider locations or levels of care. It's essential to have current and accurate information about the patient's goals and preferences and clinical status for successful transitional care coordination. If you go on the next slide, here's the list of really industry experts for care transitions. Dr. Eric Coleman and his transitional coach model, has been really the leader in promoting care transitions through care transitions across the healthcare continuum. He's from the University of Colorado, and he has defined the care transitions intervention. Dr. Mary Naylor from the University of Pennsylvania, she has been researching care transitions since about 1988, and she has developed the transitional care model utilizing advanced practice nurse to follow a patient during their transitions from really acute care to home health care or self-care once they're discharged from the hospital. The next slide goes into some of the specifics of Dr. Eric Coleman's care transitions model. It's built on four pillars. The four pillars are the patient-centered record or personal health record, early physician follow-up post acute care discharge, medication self-management, and the patient's knowledge of red flags, or the red flags are the symptoms that indicate a worsening condition. The personal health record includes a patient discharge preparation list that can be used by patients to really provide a checklist for them to refer to make sure that they understand and have all the information they need once they're being discharged from a healthcare setting. It can be easily adapted to home care. This model promotes patient self-management by the presence of a coach to assist the patient during the transition period. And the focus of the coach is really to do medication reconciliation very early after discharge from an acute care setting, and also to promote the knowledge of the patient's red flags. I've provided the website that can provide you with more information on the care transitions model, and the care site is www.caretransitions.org. And if you go to that website, there's an excellent explanation of the model, as well as it provides an example of the personal health record and the medication discrepancy tool that I'll be explaining a little later within the presentation. The next slide really outlines the four pillars of the care transition activities, and this model is really emphasized in this packet. And this slide really provides an illustration of how those four pillars can be formed into home health care. And if you look at the different areas for medication self-management, it targets the home health activities of discussing the importance of understanding medications and having a system in place within the patient's home in managing their medications. It also helps the patient and along with the coach to reconcile medication regimens that might be confusing during the handover process or the discharge, the transition process from one setting to another. Related to the patient care-centered record, the personal health record can be used to assist the patient in outlining their health care status and what's important to identify to any health care provider that will be following up with their care. I know that some agencies already have a type of personal health record that they have developed into a patient record in the patient's home. And this is only an example of that can be used and adapted to agencies. The importance of physician follow-up and follow-up visit post-acute care discharge is stressed. And actually, the model focuses on making the follow-up appointment prior to the patient's discharge and working with the family and the caregiver and the patient in stressing the importance of that follow-up visit to inform the patient's primary physician that the patient has had a change in condition and that they have new orders. And then the importance of the patient's knowledge of their red flags. And this builds upon the earlier intervention packet of emergency care planning. The home health clinician is in the perfect position for coaching the patient to enhance the patient's self-management skills. The transitional coach model encourages the patient and caregiver to have a more active and informed role in their care planning by encouraging the use of the personal health records. The next slide details the transitional care model that is the focus of Dr. Mary Naylor's research. And her research is based on the assumption that as a result of shorter hospital stays, an acute exacerbation of chronic illness is not really resolved at the time of discharge and needs a more focused treatment and protocol once the patient goes home. It uses the advanced practice nurse to meet the patient while the patient's in the hospital and to perform discharge planning activities and then provide more intensive home care follow-up through home visits and follow-up telephone calls. It focuses on and identifies high-risk, vulnerable patients for the transitional care activities. And the advanced practice nurse really develops a specific protocol that's individualized for each patient to meet their specific care needs. There's early collaboration with the patient's physician within this model, and the intervention usually lasts about 6 to 8 weeks after the patient is discharged from the acute care facility. And I've provided you a website if you're interested in reading more about the transitional care model. The next slide outlines the 10 core elements of Mary Naylor's model that are included in the packet and focuses on early intervention packages. The 10 This crosswalk is also available in the leadership package on page 11. If you look at, you can see that the 10 core elements are outlined on the left side, and it's related to the intervention packet, best practice intervention packets, or natural home care practices that are already in place within the home care community. You can see it focuses on the alertness of developing an evidence-based plan of care and identifying patients who are at high risk, consistency of providers across the entire care episode with the transitional care nurse as the primary coordinator of care. And this is very much in alignment with primary nursing that is mode of nursing through in-home care. It focuses on regular home visits with telephone support for an average of 2 months, and that is supported by the intervention packets of phone monitoring and front-loading of visits. And the transitional care nurse usually accompanies the patients on their first follow-up physician visit, and that really is for physician collaboration and also to allow the physician to ask any questions and to be updated on the patient's current condition post-hospital discharge. It promotes comprehensive holistic medicine, which is the focus of the disease management intervention packet, and you can see the rest of the list of the core elements of this intervention pack of the transitional care model and how it relates to the other best practices within home care. So the next slide, really, if you think about Dr. Coleman's model and Mary Naylor's model, there are some commonalities between them. And one of the commonalities is the continuity of care. It one practitioner really follows that patient who is identified as high risk or more vulnerable for deteriorating health status once they are discharged or once they transition to another care setting. The continuity of care reduces the number of handoffs or the transfer of information that is necessary during that transition time. It promotes early recognition of deterioration in condition, teaching the patient how to be alert in the change in their status and what to do when they're experiencing that deterioration in status. It stresses the early medication identification of medication management once the patient is home. It promotes medication reconciliation. And that is really the primary focus of the initial home visit, to make sure that there isn't any confusion with medications and really to assist the patient in to answer any of their questions regarding to medications. And both models stress the early collaboration with the physician and really look to getting the appointment, their first MD appointment, within the first 5 to 10 days post the acute care episode. So if you think about transitional care coordination, it occurs daily within a home health agency and for patients, and it's not really an optional service. And within that, the home health agency is both the receiver and the sender of information, and it includes the handover of information. And historically, handovers have been an area where communication gaps have occurred between when a patient transfers from one health care provider to another. Handovers are more than just a transfer of patient information. It is a time when both the sender and the receiver have the ability to ask questions to ensure full understanding of the patient's care needs. A handover, instead of a handoff, a handover implies a professional responsibility to both deliver the information and to assure it is understood. So when you think about when home health agencies are accepting referrals and you just receive a fax and you don't have that opportunity to ask questions of the healthcare provider that is sending that fax over, that really is more of a type of handoff of information instead of a handover, which really kind of stresses the ensuring of that the patient's information is understood once it is received by the receiving healthcare provider. So really, if you move to the next slide, the role of handovers is really to exchange vital information that is consistent, detailed, and appropriate. It's to communicate the current patient status as it is within that healthcare provider setting. Also, provide the opportunity to ask questions to ensure complete understanding of patient-related information. And a handover implies the passing on of responsibility to another healthcare professional instead of a handing off or getting rid of that patient from the healthcare setting. And it very much supports patient safety, which is one of the overarching themes of transitional care coordination. Transitional care coordination is a challenge on any day. During the home health episode of care, there can be multiple patient handovers. Safe and effective handovers depends on the clinician's ability to prioritize patient-related information and to communicate it. When you think of handovers or transition, think of transitions, not discharging the patient. discharge implies getting rid of instead of assisting the patient through the continuum of services. Although I remember when I was a supervisor in a home health agency, there were patients I was very willing to get rid of and was very happy to send them to another healthcare setting. But we're really looking at the transitions and trying to assist them in getting through the continuum of services and assisting the receiving healthcare setting in planning for that patient's care. If you go to the next slide, the leadership package really explains how the care transition coordination has connections to reducing acute care, the acute care hospitalization rate within your agency, as it connects to the home health community as a whole, and also how it connects with the physician. The area of reducing acute care hospitalization, the care transition interventions are designed to encourage patients and their caregivers to be more active during their transition between settings and to reduce rehospitalizations. They can do that by using the personal health record as they go between healthcare settings, use that as a communication tool. Also, with medication, the medication reconciliation, agencies can use the medication discrepancy tool to alert them to problem areas that might be related to medication reconciliation, and the tool provides them with a way to track those problem areas. And the packet links with the handover of patient information to other care providers. Both Dr. Coleman's and Dr. Naylor's models have demonstrated reductions in patients' readmissions to hospitals and have assisted patients through transitioning to other care providers. The next slide provides an example of the personal health record that is used, that is available in the packet. In Dr. Coleman's model, the coach assists the patient to complete the personal health record and instructs the patient to keep it with them at all times and to share the information with any healthcare provider that they're getting care of. The key is that the coach assists the patient. They do not complete the personal health record for the patient. The coach is really there to mentor the patient in doing the completion themselves. The personal health record includes patient information related to advanced directives, any healthcare providers that are providing service to them, their medical history, recent lab results, any immunizations they might have been administered, as well as provides a list of medications and why that they are on those medications. It also provides an area for the medical follow-up MD appointment, and it, as the coach discusses what the patient wants to focus on during the follow-up MD appointment or any questions they might ask, it provides an area to write down those questions so it can provide the patient with a prompt when they see their physician. The next slide provides an example of the personal health record's last page. And because the personal health record is normally initiated while the patient is in the hospital, the last page of it really provides a list of items that the patient can use to make sure that they understand all the information and instructions that they will need to bring home with them, as well as to be understood when they're prior to discharge from the hospital. Some of the questions that they have on this form is, I have been involved in decisions about what will take place after I leave the facility. It also prompts them to remember that they have the name and phone number of a person should they have questions or a problem arises once they get home. And it also prompts them to do they have an understanding of their medications and how to obtain them and take them once they get home. Many times when a patient is discharged, they have a different medication or a different dose at home than they are being discharged on. And very often, one of the medication discrepancies that occur once patients go home is that they immediately start taking the medications that they used to take prior to their hospitalization, or they take additional medications, and that may lead to a rehospitalization if some of those questions aren't answered. As I said before, this page can easily be adapted so it can be used in the home health care setting, and it can be used maybe when the patient is being discharged to review or to go over with patients to kind of coach them with what types of areas they need to consider once they're being discharged from the home health episode and what things that they're going to need to be aware of once they are independent and can manage their own care. The next slide provides a highlight of the medication reconciliation tool. And very often in the process of identifying the most accurate list of all the patient's medications, it's a challenge during the early post-acute transition for patients. Very often medications can be confused, and patients can be ordered either the same medication, but it can be in the generic name, or they can be ordered a different dose than what they were on. The medication discrepancy tool can be used to track differences in medications that occur and also the reason why they're occurring. It can identify problem areas within the home health agency or within the transition process that may need to be addressed. It's important that the agency have a communication process that's simple and standard to aid in medication reconciliation during the patient transitions and during the early episodes, the early days of patients when patients are starting home health agency care. Medication reconciliation does occur at the start of care visit, at any resumption of care visit, and after a physician visit, follow-up visit. And it must be, a standard method must be in place so medication reconciliation can easily occur. And so clinicians have a guideline to follow when they're reviewing medications during those times. The home health connection is based on fostering effective communication with the hospital social worker or discharge planner to ensure an appropriate patient transition from the hospital to the home health agency. The home health agency can develop a standard of practice that enhances an open and honest communication between the two healthcare providers. Ways to build this relationship is to schedule a session to discuss common patient transition challenges within both the hospital and home health agency setting. We took part in IPRO, along with three home health agency and hospital providers, took part in an Institute of Healthcare Improvement web action program during the latter part of 2007. And it really was an eye-opening experience for us to really learn that the home care providers that were part of that project didn't really understand what was happening within the hospital setting. And the hospital providers had no idea of what was happening and what the home health agency needed in regards to patient information and some of their struggles that occurred as patients were being admitted to the home health agency. During that program, we also found out at the initial session that very often these people had never met each other and they were introducing themselves for the first time. So it was really a surprise to us and really alerted us to the gap, the reason why there are some communication gaps during the transition processes. It also, the Home Health Connection provides feedback. It provides a suggestion to provide feedback with patients regarding the patient's outcome in their post-acute discharge, and also guides in the arranging of care team meetings for high-risk patients. There is a discharge criteria and face sheet tool that's a handout that I've provided that was developed by another QIO from, I think it's Idaho and Montana, that they used with their home health agencies and hospital discharge planners to educate them on what the home health agency needs for when a referral is made, as well as what types of areas might alert the hospital with that this patient is at higher risk for complications once they go home. So if you refer to the handout, it's set up like the zone tools, the green, yellow, and red, the red zone tools. And what it does is it provides the discharge planner outline of some areas to consider or check off that if these are in place or if patients have these types of problems, that they are at a higher risk for problems once they do go home, and that they can be referred to home care services that might be able to assist them once and avoid a rehospitalization. It also provides them with some of the community resources within those states that the patient might qualify for, and could alert the home health agency that patient needed some of those patient needs once they are admitted to their agency. So you can see some of the areas that identify patients at higher risk are psychological issues, patients who have a low literacy or a low understanding of their health care needs, patients who live alone, multiple medications or polypharmacy, oxygen therapy, patients who require multiple services once they go home, and any patients with pressure ulcers or have mobility problems. And then you can see that patients who are at the highest risk for rehospitalization, and you can see the list of criteria that are here. And this may be very similar to your patient's high-risk tool that you use once patients are identified, once patients are admitted to your agency. Wouldn't it be nice that the hospital told you upon referral or alerted you on referral that this patient is at high risk for rehospitalization? So therefore, you would know automatically, or that clinician, you could communicate that to the start of care clinician so that your high-risk protocol could be implemented immediately instead of waiting until that high-risk intervention tool was completed by the home health agency. The next page of that tool outlines really a face sheet that the discharge planners can use of the type of information that's required by the home health agency. And this is only a guide because I know that most hospitals and healthcare providers have a face sheet or have a discharge instruction list that is used for when a referral is made to the home health agency. But it also provides what could be added to that referral list and provides an added guideline for the hospital or other healthcare provider that's referring to your agency. The last connection that the leadership track has is really the connection to the physician. And the physician is really a key player when you think about transitional care coordination. Coordination with the physician is essential for the patient's ease in transition between healthcare providers. There's a lot of talk and discussion within the physician community about transitional care at this time, and really under the leadership of Dr. Coleman, these issues have really come to the forefront and have gained national attention. The American College of Physicians and the Society of General Internal Medicine, as well as the Society of Hospital Medicine, are expected to release a consensus statement to address the physician's role in transitional care coordination in early 2008. So we'll be, once we are alerted to this or see that this is out, we will certainly forward this on to you. As I said, that here is a list of organizations that have really brought care transition coordination to national attention and have been discussing it. The American College of Physicians, Society of General Internal Medicine, is developing a toolkit that can be used by hospitalists at the time of patients' discharge from an acute care facility. And the Society for Hospital Medicine, which is really the society that are for hospitalists that provide care within the acute care setting, they're looking at ways to improve the quality of the handovers between physicians from the hospitalist to the primary care physician or to that patient specialist. And the National Transitions of Care Coalition has been created or formed to really provide an arena for or a community to discuss the quality of care coordination and communication across the healthcare continuum to try to get a better understanding and to bring to the forefront the patient safety issues related to care coordination and communication. So you can see the care transition really has become the buzzword within the healthcare community. The next slide really provides is a tool that can be used that is provided in the packet that provides a guide for the patient to use and prompts the patient in ways to be a more active partner when they see their physician during their physician appointment and follow-up. You may hear from patients that physicians tell them that they don't have enough time to answer all their questions. Well, this can also be used as a prompt to ask not only the physician, but if the office has a nurse practitioner that sees the patient, or it can be the office nurse that maybe sits down with the patient to answer some of these questions and can be a liaison between the patient and the physician during their office appointments or communication with the physician's office. The leadership track also includes a section on, as it has with all the other track intervention packets, an agency self-assessment, action items, and an action plan that the agency can use in improving their care transition coordination. And the agency self-assessment starts on page 21 and 22 of the full intervention package. And it provides a guide to assist the agency in evaluating their current status related to transitional care coordination and as it relates to the four pillars of care transitions. And again, the four pillars are medication reconciliation, physician follow-up, patient's knowledge of red flags or early signs of patient's deterioration of condition, as well as the patient-centered record. And it focuses the agency on what packets from the previous best packages have been implemented within your agency. It targets that agencies should have at least implemented parts of at least three of the prior intervention packages. It also ask questions about communication methods within your agency that occur during patient transitions, possibly the referral process within your agency, as well as targeting transfer and discharges as the patient transfers to another care provider or transfers to or is discharged or handed over to self-care. It alerts you and have you shared your patient education materials or have you shared the zone tools with your referral sources so they might also be able to use those as patient education items within their healthcare setting. I know that when we had when we were part of the IHI program, the hospital participants were very liked the zone tools, and a couple of them implemented the zone tools within their hospital setting and added them to their disease management programs that were focused on congestive heart failure or COPD. Also, it has you look at your communication patterns within your agency, your communication of patient-related information during the handover process. It specifically has you look at what do you specifically communicate to the physician, or you can use the previous intervention packet related to physician communication or the SBAR tool. The inclusion of family and significant others in the transition process or the handover process. And what type of information are you providing to community service providers that are critical to patient's care or the patient's transition between healthcare settings? There are other kind of prompts that the agency can use to self-assess themselves and really kind of choose maybe one area that you might want to focus on in during the implementing an action plan. The next slide kind of provides a guide to for suggestions that you might use to develop or enhance your agency's transitional care coordination processes. It's based on the agency's assessment, and some of the action items that are detailed on page 23 and 24 of the intervention packet are to review or modify your processes or protocols or forms that you currently use to enhance safety as well as the care coordination process. You might want to identify or create a care coordination team that might be a pilot or might be a pilot team that's part of your quality improvement team. It also highlights, refers you back to tools in previous intervention packets that you might find that would help you in improving your transitional care coordination within your agency. And it provides guidelines to possibly educate agency staff in expectations or handovers during patient transitions, as well as preparing patients and family to talking with their doctors or asking questions during their transitions between healthcare settings. The next page, I said at the very beginning of the presentation that we'd be discussing a crosswalk that's included in the packet that identifies best practice interventions and how they connect to transitional care coordination. And on page 20, that really includes the crosswalk that details the connections of the other intervention packets to transitional care coordination. It, as I said, transitional care coordination really builds on the basic best practices for decreasing hospitalization that agencies can use to overcome the challenges of improving the quality of their transitional care coordination. And using the earlier best practice intervention packets in enhancing their coordination within their agency. I'm not going to review the specific intervention packets and how they relate to the transitional care coordination. I really refer you to that page 20, and it really gives you a detailed outline for that and how they relate to decreasing acute care hospitalizations within your agency. So in summary, the next slide really shows how home health can support the four pillars of care in the transition activities and how you can incorporate these activities into your daily practice. The four pillars, again, are the medication self-management and how that knowledge of medication management during the initial period of the patient's transition into home health care and using the medication discrepancy tools to outline problems or identify problems within that system. And linking the patient-centered record or the personal health record to facilitate communication between healthcare settings and providers. And the emphasis on physician follow-up visit and ensuring that that patient is able to go and see the physician and makes that early appointment. And then, again, the support of the knowledge of the patient's red flags and their knowledge of early deterioration of status and what to do and how to respond to that early deterioration of status. The next slide really targets, you know, as in all the best practice intervention packets, there are specific educational tracks for each group of clinicians. And the educational tracks include an overview of what's in the packet as well as an example of the tools for the clinicians to review and learn. It involves this track involves a patient's story and how transitional care coordination assisted a patient in their transition between during the post-acute care process. It also includes a podcast and the importance of the clinician's practice in this intervention, best practice intervention. And it provides an example of excellence or a home health agency story that a New York agency is the example of excellence in this educational package. St. Peter's Home Care in Albany, New York is the excellence example for this intervention packet. And as with all the clinician tracks, there's a post-test for continuing education credits for clinicians who are required to have those. The next slide outlines website resources that are available to provide added information. It gives you the campaign website as well as the MedQuick website. The MedQuick website is where all of the campaign intervention packages will be transitioned to in the next few months. The iPro website, of course, where you'll see where the handouts for this presentation as well as a tape of this presentation will be available. And then our community website, which is the Jenny website at iPro.org. I want to congratulate St. Peter's Hospital Home Care Program as being the home health agency example of excellence for the transitional care coordination package. It explains how St. Peter's Home Care was able to use communication and more efficient communication between the hospital and home health agency in improving the care of congestive heart failure patients during their transition from hospital to home, and how they were able to reduce the rehospitalizations of CHF patients. Since this is the last intervention package and the last teleconference related to the Home Health Quality Improvement Campaign, the next slide really kind of outlines what other people have thought about the campaign tools as well as their reactions to the packages and the activities related to the HHQI campaign. Overall, the campaign has been a success nationally. All of the agencies who have participated have felt that the campaign tools and activities have been supportive of their efforts to reduce acute care hospitalizations. Just to outline a little bit of the different tools that have been the most helpful or what has gotten them involved in the campaign, 67% of agencies nationally registered the campaign because their quality improvement organization recommended that this would be a good activity for them to participate in. 93% reported that the monthly best practice intervention packets kept them motivated to be involved with the campaign. 89% identified as the hospital risk assessment intervention package as the most helpful package initially that was initially within the campaign. And 86% of the agencies found the nurses track the most helpful section for educating their clinicians. And this track was used the most often. 65% utilized the CDs that were mailed quarterly that had the podcasts for the intervention packets on them and provided them to the caregivers within their agencies. And 94% have used the monthly home health quality improvement reports. And I think that the agencies overwhelmingly have enjoyed the information on these reports because they've really provided an added detail of a drill down of what is causing the acute care hospitalizations within their agencies. All of the agencies voiced a challenge in keeping up with the monthly intervention packets. They all felt a little bit overwhelmed and by that the monthly schedule of the rollout of those packets. But as I said before, they'll be transitioned and available to MedQuick.org. So please, as you're able to address and add to your plans to reduce acute care hospitalizations, please refer back to them. Or if you'd like to just print out all the intervention packets so you have them readily available to use as tools as you move on to improve on reducing your acute care hospitalization rate. At this time, I'd like to open the lines for questions and any comments or from the audience. Amy, do you want to open the lines for questions?
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. One moment, please. I'm showing no questions, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I thank everybody for attending the teleconference today. I want to please complete your handout and fax it in to Debbie. I also want to alert you to the next teleconference will be next week on Wednesday from 9 to 10, and that will be a shared learning session. The SAY Network, which is a network of county home health agencies that have collaborated, that have been collaborating for quite a while to improve their quality improvement efforts in the central and western part of New York, will be sharing their strategies that they've used to collaborate and improve their quality improvement and their patient outcomes and safety within their agencies. So at this time, I'd like to conclude the call, and everyone have a good day.
And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation, and have a wonderful day. You may all disconnect.